Hello. Happy New Year. We are almost to the new year, and I just want to beat you to the punchline and wish you a happy new year. This is Kathy Prohorov, your host of Chatty Kathy. And in today's episode, we're going to highlight some major points that are so critical to getting the results that you're looking for as a woman or person over the age of 40. Again, we've talked about this in previous episodes, and if you've not heard any of those, we are not the same as we were in our 20s and 30s. Our bodies don't work the same as it did as we were 20 and 30. And it's very interesting that most people will look at someone who's fitter and healthier and think to themselves, aren't they so lucky? Gosh, if only I didn't have the genetics that I have, if only I didn't have all of the things against me, I could do that too. And we lie to ourselves and we tell ourselves stories that keep us where we are. So in today's episode, what I want to do is I want to help you crush down any old excuses and patterns and BS stories, which we will talk about right now, in order to help you step up, raise your standards. And before we get into what all of that will entail, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's not difficult, it's not even a secret, but many times we get stuck in our own loops, or we get stuck in past programs or guides from other fitness experts in the past. And yes, our body does work so much more efficiently when we are younger. Our metabolism runs smoother for the most part, right? If you're not dealing with other issues, and you don't have age against you as of yet. But for those of you that don't know, I recently turned 50, and 50 was one of those, that's a really big number years. And I've never experienced those before. You see, when I was 40, I remember thinking, okay, this is pretty much that time of your life that you still got it, and you got to prove it to yourself that you're not going to allow the years to pull you back. And so I went and entered a fitness competition, a bikini competition, which was such an amazing challenge for me. Let me just tell you, if there's a fear that you have around some sort of goal, I'm going to encourage you, what better time than the beginning of a new year than to step forward and commit to it, is to declare it and commit to it. Don't say, well, maybe I'll do that. No, I could have said, well, maybe I'll join this challenge of getting myself fit for a bikini competition. Heck no. I hired myself a coach, an online trainer and coach, and had her write me up. Because obviously I had never competed before. I needed to know what I needed to do, how I needed to eat. And she was an expert in that field because she had already won first place in the world fitness competition. So I trusted her and we got along and I committed to that. And I also committed to the date. I actually registered for the date of my contest and I paid for it. I had to go through the registration and all of these different areas and checklist of completing these tasks. But once that was done, I was in. You know, there's a different mentality to that than like, yeah, that sounds good. I'm 40. Yeah, I think maybe I'll do this thing. It sounds good. I'll think about it. That's BS, okay? And we're going to talk about what BS means today because it's not what you think it means, all right? So if you think you know what I mean by BS, we're gonna shift that too. We're just shifting everything today, right? So I, again, turned 50, and I had this thought of, okay, Kathy, you trained for a fitness competition a decade ago. That was your goal. That was your strategy. I went through all of those, that story in previous episodes. So if you need to go and scroll back or message me if you don't know where to find that, and I will let you know which title to look for. I'm sorry I don't have it written down in front of me. Sorry, not sorry. I have other more important things to do, by the way. But anyway, that is it's a very important thing to understand, is that when you set a goal, you must commit to the goal. You can't just say it sounds good, because we lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves stories that that is going to happen, when we know in reality or in our deepest heart of hearts, that's probably never going to happen. And if I had thought about all the repercussions and all the people who talk bad about the fact that I, you know, as a mother up on stage in a bikini competing, I might have gotten scared and chickened out. But I am so grateful that I didn't. I'm so grateful to the people that supported me through that journey, because I learned so freaking much about it. You know, what it takes to compete, and that if you're not healthy. You know, I had gone into it thinking I'm going to be the healthiest I've ever been. And that was a complete opposite. I actually broke myself down. And I had to rebuild myself after that competition. And that is part of the journey, my friend. Wherever you are right now, instead of beating yourself up for lack of getting to a specific goal, maybe looking back at the past year thinking, ah, I had all these goals for myself, and now look, I hadn't done anything, or I went backwards, or I just did a few things, or whatever it is that you're telling yourself. Instead of doing that and thinking the negative side of it, look at it and, man, what did I get? And if it was failure, that's data, right? That's data you can take and use for your next goal, your next achievement. And you now know, and if it's the same goal that you want to strive for again, you now know what not to do, right? Now, Thomas Edison, if you haven't heard this a billion times like I have, he had failed 10,000 times at inventing the light bulb. And someone came to him, whether this is true or not, and said, what the heck? How do you feel after failing 10,000 times? Like, when are you going to quit? Right? Because how many times have we heard that? I've heard that. Gosh, Kathy, you just can't do this thing. You might as well quit. It's not working for you. It's not for you. And the truth of the matter is that is BS. And that's the BS that you know I'm saying. But instead, Thomas said, no, I didn't fail 10,000 times. I have just learned 10,000 ways that it doesn't work. Consider that for a minute. I just learned how it doesn't work. Now, if you don't know, again, I sometimes repeat myself to no end, and that's just what you get. But I find that sometimes repeating things are valuable, right? Because we don't always hear everything at one point in time, but sometimes they stick, right? Or the time when we're ready to hear something sticks. But I had gone through diets in my early years and really struggled in my self-confidence, how I felt about my body, myself, my identity. And that was just the first part of my story, my journey through life so far, right? Because I'm still, I feel in my heart of hearts, I am so young and I have so much more to do and share and grow and achieve. And I'm excited for that fact. I don't feel like, ah, I'm 50. Oh my gosh, the best years are behind me. No, I feel like, gosh, this is exciting. I've learned so much. I've grown so much. And what is this next decade going to give me? And then the next, and then the next. Right? We just have to keep moving forward, but in the positive light of what has not worked for me and how can I learn from those facts, right? And make it work for me in the next time. It's like a scientific experiment, because we are. Our life is, we don't know what we don't know until we know what we don't know, right? And that's where the failures come in. And true failure, in the terms of what most people think it means, only exists when we quit. When you quit on a goal or a dream because you think you can't do it, that's failure. Failure is just quitting. But not getting there yet, it's just a way it didn't work or something that needs to be assessed and shifted, right? And which is what I'm doing in our community. I'm actually moving away. I'm stepping away from doing coaching and online training now. I've been a trainer for over 30 years, and I know what that entails, and I know what happens as a trainer, and I know what I can offer to my clients as a trainer, both in person and online, because I've been running the Superstar Elite community for the past 3 years, maybe more, almost four. And in that time, I've learned what works, what doesn't work. And it's not that it doesn't work, but what I'm shifting now is to sharing my story. Because I find that, why do we look at social media? Why do we follow people online? Why do we watch reality TV, right? It's because we want to see what other people are doing, and whether we want to say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that, or we want to learn from it or be inspired by it. There's something very, very powerful about that. So that is where I'm shifting. I'm shifting to putting myself at the forefront of proving what I'm doing, what I've learned up until this point. So the past five decades, what I've learned up to this point, and what I'm learning as I move forward into an older, you know, let's just face it, more, not really broken down, but my body's been through a lot, right? I've done a lot of things. I've lifted a lot of weights. I've competed in a lot of different races and challenges. And if you can't hear the birds in the background, you're going to hear them squawking. But the point of it is that I can use what I've learned from the past and what I'm feeling in the now and what I know from where I'm at now. You know, I'm an older, more mature woman. I don't know why that word irritates me, mature, but I like to say I'm not really that mature mentally, maybe. So maybe that's why I don't like it, but I don't feel old at all. And I don't think I ever will, because I think that's a state of mind. I think that's what we tell ourselves. And I don't believe in that. In fact, not funny story, but an interesting story about that is I had one of my grandmothers, who she passed away this past year. She was 93. And yes, she lived a long life. And yes, she was on her feet the whole time, you know, obviously slowed down. But she was very, very cautious about how she moved in her later years. And what had happened was, you know, she went through a lot in her younger years. She lost my first grandfather, her first husband, she lost at an early age. He was 47 when he passed from an illness. And she later remarried. And it's almost like she had two families, two lives. And so I was very inspired by her, because I know how strong she was, and what she had to go through was, you know, something that most people, not everybody has to go through. And I remember one story about her, because she was always so active and, you know, just what you would expect, someone my age and a little bit older, you know, doing the things, right? And it was at one point, I remember I heard she had told her, my grandfather, the second husband she had, that he says, "Why are you walking so slow? Like, why are you moving so slow?" He noticed a complete shift in her energy. And our energy, we're always in control of, right? Whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not, it's up to us. But we are in control of our energy. And her energy had always been move faster, do things, you know, a certain way. And then she shifted and she started to move slower. She started to walk slower and act slower. And he says, "You're acting like a grandmother." And she was in her 70s at the time. And she says, "Well, I am a grandmother." And she was so adamant about that point. And it was so interesting, because after that fact, even though she was, like I said, when she passed, was still on her feet. She had all her mind was working. She really was, you know, the way you want to age. You don't want to be broken down anymore, but sometimes we don't have that, that decision to make. But I say fight back, right? Fight back against age as much as we can, and wisely. So once she decided that she was a grandmother, or quote grandmother, you know, which in her mind meant older, I need to slow down. I need to act like I'm older. I need this and that. And it's nothing wrong in certain areas, but I feel, just in my opinion, with my humble opinion, that once we decide that we're old, we will become old. We will move in that way. We will move slower. We will start acting older. We will start believing we're older, and life will treat us that way. Our life will meet us what we're giving it, what we're expecting, what we're telling it, the energy that we put out there. So again, I'm 50. And again, that sounds like a big number. I almost don't believe it. I almost think, what? When did this happen? I just don't believe it, because I don't feel it. And yeah, there's different, you know, aches and pains, which, you know, we all get. I have, you know, and which is why I'm going to be sharing a lot of how I'm shifting things in my own fitness and health habits. But I'm not going back to just saying, I'm old, I'm done, hang up the ropes and just let it go. I'm done. I'm ready to push back even more furiously, but at a different level, because I'm not going to train like I did for the fittest competition 10 years ago. What that was I was overtraining because I was, you know, in this hurry to get to a certain type of look and body fat and, you know, physique. And in that, I had to really push myself to ways that aren't sustainable. You know, obviously, if I kept doing that, I would have definitely broken myself down, risk injuries and, you know, whatever else. But I didn't. I pulled back. I let myself recover after that time. And now I look at it and I think, okay, well, okay, Kathy, you're ready, you know, for your fifth decade, and you're ready to see what you're capable of doing to get above average. I don't ever want to be average. I don't want to be known as average. I don't want to accept average. I always want to be above average, and I want to be well above average. And I heard this analogy very recently. I think it was Tony Robbins, one of his speeches he gave, that we are always looking to achieve a certain standard, right? Or we have a certain standard anyway, whether we like it or not. You know, if we do things poorly, you know, you go out and you give poor, efforts in whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, what are you going to get in return? And we assume we're going to get poor results, right? We get less than poor results. Like we don't even pass. Like if you give poor, you go out and you give poor results or effort on taking a test or taking a class or, you know, a job that you have, what are you going to get? You're probably going to get fired. You're going to get an F. Like it's below poor, right? It's just at the bottom of the barrel. So you're going to go and give poor efforts. You're going to get less than poor results. It's going to always be less than, right? But if you go and you give good efforts, right? Okay, I'm going to do a little bit better. I'm going to do good. I'll get good, which I think for most of us, we can assume this is average, right? Then we think what? What are we going to get in return? We're going to get good results back, right? We're going to get average results back. No, we're not. You go out and you do a good enough job, what are you going to get? Nobody's going to give you any credit for that. They're not going to be wowed by your good enough, because pretty much everybody does good enough, right? Again, average. And average is what I'm not interested in doing, not interested in being. And if you know me, you know that that's true. Then the next level up, the next standard is excellence, right? And excellence, we think, is going to give me excellent results. I'm going to be just excellent and above average. And you know what? It's always below that, right? It's going to give you, you're going to be seen as, okay, yeah, that was nice. Are you going to stand out? Like, are you going to be the top 1-2% of the world if you just give excellence? You're going to rise above average, but you are not going to be seen as anything extra special. Consider an athlete. Consider those who go to the Olympics. Do you think they just give excellent, or do they then raise their standards to the ultimate and outstanding level? The outstanding level is like, you know what? I've achieved this, but it's not enough, right? Just like the 4-minute mile. Right? If you guys don't know about the 4-minute mile, that for years, you know, there were races done and they thought that a human being couldn't run faster than a 4-minute mile because that's all that had been done. So everybody that went into running this miles would try to break it, but in their mind, back of their mind, all they could believe was, nope, human beings are incapable of running faster than 4-minute mile until Roger Bannister broke that record. He broke that record. And then all of a sudden it was like everybody's heads were like blown, right? And after that, I think within the year, I think, I don't know, up 30 people or so, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know it was quite a big number of people broke the same record because he was the one who led the way. He was outstanding. Everybody else was excellent. Now, do you think running a 4-minute mile is good or poor? Hell no. Excuse me. It's excellent, right? It's pretty darn excellent. I mean, honestly, I'm a sucky runner, so, or speed. I can run. I just don't enjoy it as much as most people, other people do. But the speed of it, holy cow, 4-minute mile is fast. Now that's, to me, outstanding, but yet he broke that and he went a notch higher. So consider that when you give the standard of excellence, that is not enough. You need to be outstanding. You need to go higher. And you think about all the athletes that, you know, we've looked up to over the years. You know, you think of, Michael Jordan, you think of Kobe, you think of everybody who has stands out of the crowd. You know, all the Olympic gold medal winners over the years, they have stories that they're just definitely outside of anybody that we can understand, because they are the top probably 0.00001%. So in order to create something that's above average, we have to keep reaching for the stars. And that is my goal. And I'm going to shift it this first month of this first year. So if you're listening to this at the end of 2021, at the beginning of 2022, I'm going to launch a 28-day challenge. And I don't really love challenges like that are titled like 28, 30-day challenges, because they kind of give a beginning and an end zone. You know, it's like, okay, 28 days, I'm done. And it's going to be a little bit different, but this is going to be laid out in the way of where I'm
meaning to give you today's topic, and that is about what it takes for those of us who are over the age of 40 to achieve the results, again, the outstanding results that we know and love and want. And yet, what do people tell us? Your hormones, they're different. You can't do it. You're always going to have those love handles, honey. You might as well just give up because look at it, it's not working. You've been trying for so long. And we get caught up in that, right? Like the 4-minute mile talk of people just believing something, a BS story, which in this example means belief system, all right? It means how we believe to be true. You know, if somebody tells you a story of what this means to be true, you believe that, right? Until you see another way, right? Like the Matrix movies, you know, you're given this other pill and you see it in a different way. Your perspective shifts. And when that shifts, now all of a sudden you see your capabilities shifting. You can do different. You can do more. Something else can be achieved because something has shifted. And we're ready. Well, I think we're about the time in, you know, where most diet programs are in that we understand that deprivation doesn't work. You know, I mean, you want to go out and you want to shred and you want to get your body into elite fitness sculpted shape, you know, like you want to be on a stage competing or you want to take part in an athletic competition. Great. But know that that is not something you're going to be able to continue for a long time because it is so difficult to achieve, but we can find a way to shift what's not working. Doesn't mean we can't do different than what we have now. If you're not happy with your results right now, and I'm talking like you just got that stubborn body fat somewhere, or you got that extra 5, 10, 15, 20 pounds sitting on you, maybe more, maybe less, maybe you don't even have body weight to lose, but you know the fat or the way your body is being held, you're just not happy with it. And you're not sure what in the heck am I supposed to do about it. It's not about losing weight anymore. Whether you think you have weight to lose or not, it's about your body composition. It's about shifting how much body fat your body has and shifting that to create more muscle tone in your body. Because the more muscle tone we have in our body, the better we look, right? That's that tight and toned look. It's not about, oh, I lost all the weight. Because you can lose a bunch of weight and not create muscle and you're just going to look saggy, right? It doesn't look as good. And I know you know that. I've done that before too. So if you've done it and you understand what I'm saying, it's not a good look. It's like, gee, the weight's gone, but what the heck is this? You know, so you look in the mirror and you're wondering, where did that go? And I don't like what's left. So it's about body composition. It's reshifting what didn't work. Okay. So here's the main bullet points I'm just going to lead out for you. And we are going to be going through this in our challenge. So again, if you are listening to this before 2022, you'll be able to check out and hear and join this challenge. And you can go to my website, thesuperstarelite.com, and we'll have some information there. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook. I'll have information there. It's Instagram / Kathy Pro Fitness, all one word, Kathy with a K. Same with the Facebook, facebook.com/ Kathy Pro Fitness. And I'll be posting them all there. You can always reach me too if you have questions at kathyprofitness@gmail.com and just shoot me any questions if you don't see how to sign up. And if you're after that, I'm sure I have something else coming and maybe you can even join that and do that at your own time. And that's awesome too, right? But most people have always, you know, after my years of going through dieting and then getting results and kind of going through my process, people would look at me and say, you're so lucky. Oh, look at you. You're just that way. You know, you just naturally want to work out and you just naturally eat better than I do. And you just naturally have all these things going your way. And I look at it and I say, that is such BS, right? And you choose which BS you wanted to fit into this example. But I'm always a little, I laugh because I understand where they're coming from because I know I've done that so many times with many different people in my life on looking at the comparison game of, gosh, it's so hard for me. You know, I just have so many things against me. I don't have enough money to do that thing and I don't have enough time to do that thing and I'm a mom and I'm this and I'm that and I'm this age and I have never done it before so I don't know what I'm doing. And you know, we can come up with a gazillion excuses, and they are all just excuses on why we can't do the thing that we want most. And all that is our mind wanting to keep us comfortable. Our brain is saying, no, don't do that. You're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to do something different. You're good right now. You're staying alive right now. You're in survival mode, and this is working for us. So we're going to stay here. But our brain is, you know, not up to speed on what we really and truly want within us, you know, like that calling that you know you have in inside of you, whatever that might be, whatever you want to achieve, you can achieve it. But it's getting over it. I find that the hardest part is getting over the doubts and the fears, right? And then I'm not good enough and I can't. But until we can crash through that, and I'm going to identify my own BS stories inside of the program now and inside of everything I share, because I find that most people get stuck there first. And once we're stuck there, it doesn't matter what we start. We can start every program and do our best effort, but until we believe that we are capable of doing more than what we've gotten so far, right, we will never get more than what we've gotten so far or even in the past, right? You're only going to stop at your glass ceiling until you crack it open and you know that you can do so much more. The 4-minute mile. Just keep, go and read that story. If you've never, go Google 4-minute mile, Roger Bannister story, and go read about it. It's pretty motivational, right? It's like, wow, that's crazy. That happened. And that's real, right? It's not fake. It's not made up. That's a real story. And that really happened. And people did break it after he led the way. So whatever it is that you're struggling with right now, whatever goal you have, and if it's to get in shape after the age of 40 and 50, hello, my friend, there are a lot of people that are way older than me that look rocking, right? Way better than what I would consider myself. But I know that I'm putting in the amount of work and effort that I'm comfortable with right now. And the only way I'm going to get different results is if I put in a little bit different effort. Now, harder doesn't necessarily mean better results. You don't have to work harder or longer to get better results. You have to work smarter, especially at this age. Because now our hormones, let's just face it, our hormones, they shift. They are shifted. They are different. And yes, our body is going to start to hold on to body fat a little bit easier because it's moving a little bit of a slower rate. And it just depends on our current practices, you know, what you've been doing. If you are more active, you'll be burning calories a little bit faster, more efficiently. But if you don't have much body muscle tissue on your body, you have more body fat, well, you're not going to look the way that you want to, right? So you have to shift that. And with that, you guys know this one. I say this all the time. You need to strength train. Whether you use your body weight, whether you use resistance bands, whether you use dumbbells or barbells or whatever, you have to strength train because we want to build those muscles up stronger. We want to put more muscle on our body. And so we can fight back against the body losing muscle over the time because we are going to go through muscle loss and it speeds up as we get older. So, you know, being healthy and fit is the fountain of youth, in my opinion. And I just say my opinion, but I mean, I believe this 100%. Until we decide and commit to doing this, and it doesn't have to feel terrible. You can commit to 3 days a week, even 2 days a week, if you're really consistent, 30 to 45 minute sessions and build some good muscle, but you have to be eating in order to complement that way of training too, right? And I don't mean by dieting, I mean by eating more. Eating more than you've probably ever considered before on any program. And I'm not kidding you when I tell you, you need to eat more, but you need to eat the right nutrition, right? Because food is fuel, but we've been using it as a crutch and we've been eating crap and the processed foods are easier to eat and they're, you know, I mean, if you have never learned, and I know I'm talking so much into all these different areas, I kind of go off track, but I'm trying to keep it back to the basics of what today's topic is about. But the marketers are, you know, the fast food industry and the processed food industry, they're always trying to create foods that keep us stuck on wanting more. Right? That's why they create those foods that like you can't stop at just one. Right? Pringles. I think that was the chip that came up with that slogan, but they want you to be so you know, just obsessed with eating their foods that you can't stop and that you eat the whole package and then you want more. So it's not your fault. So get off that train of thinking I'm just weak and I can't do it because I'm weak. No, they work. That's where they get their money. That's how they get a successful product is they work to get us to binge eat their foods. All right. And if you have a favorite food, mine, I think we had this discussion this past weekend. I love Reese's peanut butter cups. I think if I have a bag of Reese's peanut butter cups in front of me, I am going to eat the whole thing. I don't care how sick I feel. At some point, I'm going to freaking eat the whole bag because I can't stop. And I'll admit it. I don't care. You know, and you might have your own. Another one is Sour Patch Kids, that candy. I don't really like them. There's just something weird about them. I need to eat more. And my mouth gets all weird and it's sour and my face makes, you know, weird faces. And it's just not that I get thirsty and it's just the weirdest thing, but I have to keep eating them. So there's triggers in it that our body, it's a chemical reaction that our body's like, I need more, right? They make them to do that to us, right? But we can change how much we are obsessed with them. So I can decide when I want to buy Reese's peanut butter cups. I can decide how I'm going to buy them. I can decide to eat them a little bit more often, but in my own rations, right? That makes sense. So I'm not having to overindulge when I, you know, maybe restrict myself too long. There's ways to make it work for us. And there's also ways to fight fat after 40. I promise you, you need to start eating better food choices and more calories. You need to start adding strength training. And the most important thing, which I'm really excited about. Well, the most important thing I think is nutrition and then the strength training. Well, they're all important. Trust me. You can't get the best results if you don't follow all of these tips. And then it's about the resting, mobility, and recovery. Now, this is where you're going to go wrong if you keep training like you did in your 20s. You just go, I don't need a warm-up. I'm just going to jump into the workout, and I'm going to do a bunch of high-intensity workouts. I'm going to burn more calories that way, less time, and then I'm going to cut all the calories back. I'm going to lose all the weight. Trust me, you're going to feel like crap. You're going to not look good at all. You're going to look at yourself in the mirror and say, what the heck? You're going to look depleted. Your body's not going to work efficiently. You're going to feel tired. You're going to break down. It is not going to work in your favor. So you have to add in mobility training. I'm starting to do lots of yoga again. In fact, I used to teach yoga, you know, multiple times a week. I was a yoga instructor, and I do it, but not as consistent as I was doing in the past. And now I've added it back into my routine and I notice the way I move is better. I don't feel the aches and pains as much. I'm getting twice a week massages right now, 90 minutes at a time. I'm going to be increasing that to once a week. But these are the practices that you need to commit to doing if you want to age better and you give a damn about your body and your life. And I'm not just saying this because, oh, I want to inspire you to join one of my programs or my challenge or whatever. No, I'm telling this for your life because this is your decision. This is your choice. It's not about luck. It's not about, oh, my hormones suck. It's about you stepping up and saying, you know what? I accept no less than my best efforts because when today is gone, it's gone. When this week is gone, it's gone forever. When this year is gone, I know it's gone forever. And with every decade, that's gone. And all I could do is look back with regret, or I could say, screw that regret. I'm going to learn from what I didn't do in the way I needed to work before, and I'm going to switch it, and I'm going to assess, and I'm going to shift, and I'm going to use that as data. And that, my friend, is the only way that you're going to continue to create results and progress, whether that's in your body, your health, which are primarily, they are connected to everything because if you don't feel good, you're not going to want to work good, right? So it's going to affect your relationships, how you treat other people, right? Even your closest loved ones are going to get treated better if you feel better, right? If you can move better, if you feel just awesome about yourself, right? You're going to put out better energy. You're more positive, right? Your work's going to be the same way, right? You're going to put better effort into that. Maybe a business, maybe your job, whatever it is, whatever you do with your life, you're going to give it so much better energy and you're going to get better results. Consider that if you feel better every day and you wake up and you have energy and you stay consistent
to what you committed to, you're not only going to feel more confident and your self-esteem is going to go up because you know you're a person who puts a challenge in front of yourself and you stick with it. Your confidence is going to go through the roof, which means your relationships are going to then be more successful, right? You're not going to put up with other people's BS anymore. They're crap, right? You're going to stand up for yourself more, which means you're going to then succeed more. Maybe you'll start earning more money. Maybe you'll start being able to do the things that you have always wanted to do because you kept yourself just below that glass ceiling and that only you knew was there. And it's not even there. Your glass ceiling was created by you, and it only can be crushed and achieved a higher level by you too. So if you want to start, you're like, well, what the heck am I supposed to do? Great. I'm going to go research more. I'm going to read about Roger Bannister. I'm going to go look for the next thing I'm going to do. I'm going to set some goals. I want you to set some goals for this next year. Or if it's even, in, you know, you're listening to this later, list some goals that you want to achieve in the next month, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months down the road. And have these in these increments so that you move towards them one step at a time. Don't put a goal you want to achieve next year and it feels so daunting that you never get started on it. Make, okay, these are my long-term goal, and then work backwards, you know, like reverse engineer. I want to achieve this goal in 12 months. All right. So what has to be true for me to be on course 9 months from now? And then 6 months, like work backwards and give yourself those goals. So it's like stepping stones. And you know that if you're walking on those stepping stones towards that goal time frame, by the 12-month mark, you're going to be there, right? Or at least closer than you've ever been before. Doesn't matter if you're exactly there. You might even surpass it. That's not the point. The point is you need to be moving and making consistent progress. And that is what this decade is all about for me. And if you want to join me on this and you want to watch, I'm sharing my stories, the stuff that doesn't work for me, the stuff I screw up with, I'm going to be sharing it. And I'm excited. It's like, I am so looking forward to this. You have no idea. And I hope that I help you have an idea, because this is going to be exciting. And I have a lot in store. I have a lot of plans. I have my own goals written out for the year ahead and in increments so I can reverse engineer it and walk through it. And I'm starting with this next 28-day challenge. And I'm going to walk through these basics, because you got to start somewhere. Whether you've been training for years or not, never trained before in your life, or somewhere in between, you need to start with the foundation. You need to find out what's not working and fix that, and then work on improving the other steps so that you can start to move forward. And we're all going to start at the same foundation in this challenge in these first 28 days, because I believe about laying that foundation, right? I'm not going to be pushing as heavy weights anymore, and I'm going to be talking about why. I'm still going to get amazing results, and I'm going to tell you why. And it's going to be a fun ride, my friend. Buckle up, but join me. Don't just watch. I want you to get up. I want you to stand up. I want you to join me in your terms, your standards. How high are you going to go for? Poor, good, excellent, outstanding. Where is your current level of success going to lie? It's all up to you. And I thank you again for listening to today's episode. I hope you rallied up. You're riled up for the new year ahead, because that was my whole point. And to tell you exactly what you need to hear in order to get through all those BS stories and move forward on that big dream, that scary, scary goal that you may have always pushed away, thinking, it'd be nice, but I can't. You can, my friend, but it's all up to your choices. What choice are you going to make today? What choice are you going to make tomorrow? And it's all about that consistency, all right? You want to follow along? Let's do this. Otherwise, I just wish you all the best either way. And I know that you have something deep and down inside of you that you can accomplish something magical and then more from there. So thank you for being here today. Until the next time, Happy New Year. Hope you're enjoying your holiday season, or if you're past the holiday season, hope you're enjoying wherever time frame you're at. And I will talk to you in the next episode.